Good afternoon, everyone. The Committee on Military, Veterans Affairs, Space, and Domestic Security will now come to order. Lois, will you please call the roll?
Chair Wright.
Here.
Vice Chair Torres.
Here.
Senator Baxley.
Here.
Senator Collins.
Here.
Senator Pizzo. Quorum present.
Excused. Thank you very much, Lois. Let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a reminder to please silence any electronic devices you may have with you. And if anyone is wishing to speak before the committee, you should complete an appearance form and hand it to one of the members of the sergeant's office. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee meeting minutes. So we have a very important meeting this afternoon, and we'll take up tab one, appointment to the director of the Florida State Guard. Mr. Thiem, if you would please come forward and raise your right hand to be sworn in as a witness. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Thiem, you are recognized to address the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice Chair, and Senators. Thank you for welcoming me here this afternoon. I know your time schedule is pressurized while in session, so I'm thankful for the time we have where I can come before you, demonstrate my qualifications to lead and direct this very important agency, and answer any questions you may have in that regard. I believe that my 35 years of service as a Marine, starting as a private and earning my way through the ranks to a colonel, with a number of experiences along the way have given me some unique insights that uniquely qualify me to lead and direct this agency. I would note that my Lieutenant Colonel command was to build from scratch a civil military organization very much like the Florida State Guard. And so it is with that depth of experience and then, in fact, providing those capability sets both within the United States and working by, with, and through local agencies, as well as abroad, working by, with, and through local governments, I think is very pertinent experience that qualifies me. My last position, I've served as the G3 of a Marine Expeditionary Force, the largest that we have. It's approximately 50,000 Marines and sailors. My responsibilities in that regard included providing recommendations for fiscal responsibilities for a budget up to $200 million. Both of those, in terms of the scope, the scale, the magnitude of those responses, I believe well qualify me to understand my fiduciary responsibilities as director of this agency, to lead it, to build it, to deploy it, and do so within time and under budget to the greatest extent possible. So I look forward to answering any questions you may have in that regard. In the past 90 days, I've enjoyed the opportunity to spend a lot of time working with General Haas, with Commissioners Glass and Young and Director Guthrie to develop a pretty keen understanding of where the Florida State Guard needs to be relative to where it is today. And I have a very good understanding of the critical path to get us there in a very aggressive and an ambitious way forward in 24 and 25. I believe we can do that with the legislature's support. Mr. Chair, those are my opening comments, and I'm happy to receive any questions that the committee may have for me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Senator Torres, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Semper Fi, sir.
Hoorah, sir.
I guess, did you go through Paris Island, or?
Yes, sir, I did.
You did? And what was your MOS?
Infantry, sir.
Infantry.
May I answer?
Absolutely. Go back and forth. Yes.
You are a grunt.
Indeed, sir.
Okay. And Colonel, that was your last rank, Lieutenant Colonel?
Colonel, sir.
Oh, Colonel Fulberg?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can I ask you on this appointment, there's no problem on your appointment. What I'm saying is, what is your understanding of the State Guard? What are their duties are?
The responsibilities of the Florida State Guard, as laid out in statute, is to protect and preserve the laws, the public safety apparatus of the state of Florida, doing so by, with, and through other agencies, first and foremost. And so what that means to me, sir, is that my employment, my task, my direction comes from the Director of Emergency Management, and the agencies with whom I provide direct support to are the Florida National Guard, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We are structuring as a joint force with ground, air, and maritime capability, sir, that would provide a crisis and an emergency response capability to any of those agencies wherever they're needed 365 days a year.
Follow up.
Go ahead, sir.
And the next question I have, because I know I read recently an article that the State Guard was being deployed to Texas, I believe, for the border. Can you tell me in detail were you involved in that? And I know you work for the governor, so I'm sure that you're not going to say no to the governor, but what was the give and take on that, sending our troops over there?
Sir, I am not involved in the governor's decision-making, but I do execute those decisions once made. We are currently, the Florida State Guard, we are under an emergency activation authority, which was received the day before his press conference in Jacksonville. And so the scope of those responsibilities would be by, with, and through the Texas Department of Military Affairs. Primarily here, the agencies with whom I am in direct support, the Emergency Support Function 13, which is the National Guard, and 16, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. What I believe to be the scope of responsibilities are likely to be in the realm of checkpoint operations, supporting patrols, supporting distributed logistics, those types of activities where the Texas National Guard and the Texas State Guard and the Texas authorities are under capacity in various areas. We are currently in the planning stages. I will have some of my team, along with Commissioner Glasses, in Texas next week. And that will begin, that will be the routes by which force flow would follow, sir. I think the commit there is probably initially about a squad in size. We want to make sure that the capabilities we offer match the requirements that are coming through the EMAC process, and that they're validated by DEM here. At which point in time I'd provide those resources in concert with General Haas and in concert with Commissioner Glass. So that's my understanding now. It is certainly evolving, but I think in terms of the types of skills, the types of expertise we would provide, sir, that's about what it looks like right now.
Good follow-up, sir.
Certainly.
And you say we're sending a squad down there or a platoon, or what are we? How many are being deployed to go down there?
Sir, what I am prepared to offer is up to a platoon in strength. What we're working through right now is what I would characterize as a requirements validation process. And so we won't send quantity or quality that Texas does not ask for, which we and our agencies here do not validate. So I'm prepared to offer up to a platoon and to sustain that for a period of months. What I cannot say with certainty in front of the committee today, sir, is exactly what Texas is going to ask for us. It may be a squad, it may be a platoon. What I'm telling you is what I'm prepared to offer. And we're going to send my initial travel party to Texas next week to add a little fidelity to that. I would be able to answer the question better week over week than I am right now. This is almost a day-by-day development, sir.
And thank you for your answer. What my concern is, being deployed from this state, that you know what we do, we're covered, and I want our men and women who are deployed to make sure that the legality of the circumstance of being sent to another state is they're protected. You know, I don't want men and women to go over to another state and be caught in something that could be dangerous for them or dangerous, you know, involved in some kind of shooting or something. That's what my fear is, you know, the circumstance of guarding the border. That's my concern. And I would like to follow up with you when you have more detail at my office when possible, when you have an answer to that. Okay.
Very good, sir.
Thank you.
Questions? Senator Collins, no? No questions? I think I can see it bubbling up there.
Question slash comment.
There you go. Go for
All
it.
Right.
Yes.
First off, it's great to see you again. I've appreciated our conversations and getting to understand who you are, what your background is. I personally appreciate your plank holders mindset on this. What are the current gaps that you're focusing on as you build out the State Garden?
Great question, Senator. Those gaps, this is a nuanced answer to a direct question because we have a number of gaps. We have a number of gaps, and I'll define those. I'll be more precise. We have gaps in capabilities, capabilities being defined as people, equipment, and the training that underrides them. I can recruit the people, and I can procure the equipment, but until I train them in terms of being safe for operations, sir, I can buy the aircraft, I can buy the boats, I can buy all kinds of things, but until I put those soldiers in the field and train them, they're not a capability yet. And so the one of the tension areas, sir, that we are working through is the simultaneous recruiting, training, and procurement of equipment. And honestly, those timelines are not precisely synchronized. The vendor selection, the process for procurement is one set of fuses that takes a bit of time. Recruiting takes another set of time, and then training, as we are just did last month. We train on a quarterly basis, and we are kicking off another IET, initial entry training camp, that starts here this week and Thursday. I'll be in Camp Landing overseeing that opening myself. And so, sir, the capability challenge areas that we have is that we'll grow from 170 where we are about today to approximately 400 in the period of 30 days, but the equipment is lagging and is lagging by a period of months. I don't believe that I'll be able to fully equip those soldiers until probably the May timeframe. And what's on my mind from a risk management perspective is how to make sure we are well postured for the upcoming hurricane season, those very severe weather events that you are talking about, sir, not just Texas, but in the Southeast, where the type of event which may unfold outstrips the capacity of every agency where we can help fill the line. So that's where my concern is, sir, is I'm staring very intently at that May and June timeframe and how to try and coordinate and synchronize the arrival of equipment, the contracts to make sure that I've got training locked on, and I'm pressurizing the system where I can responsibly, because what I want to be able to do, sir, is offer units of employment rather than things.
Follow on?
Certainly. Go
Thank
ahead.
You. And I appreciate your answer. That is exactly what I expected to hear, and I like the approach on this. So you are focusing in on what your gaps are currently as you build it, your requirements within the state, knowing we have a gap in hurricane season where there is a potential for negative things in our state, while managing the complexities of this secondary involvement in Texas.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. And you're managing those resources, and legal review and discussion is a part of your typical implementation before utilization on the ground, correct?
Absolutely it is. You know, sir, starting first with statute. The statute are my legal guardrails. Then taking a look at the authorities that are prescribed to the agencies with whom we will provide direct support to make sure that the soldiers we're providing fall within those authorities, and we do not provide any soldier to a missionary outside of the authorities in order to reduce that risk exposure, sir. Absolutely.
Thank you. No further questions.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Do you have any questions? Senator Baxley? You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess, first of all, this is probably not going to be a series of questions, but instead just a comment on your readiness and the opportunity of the time to be have a more secure Florida condition. It's very rare that we're prepared on every front when something happens that we're ready to go instead of getting ready to go. And I think exposure to different kinds of incidents, like the COVID crisis, like severe weather storms we've been through. We don't know what's happening, but it's very reasonable and important and best practice to me that we stand ready. We have stand ready. I don't think most of us knew what limitations the National Guard had, and particularly on this front, that things can happen that you need a force to move into action. And you've demonstrated today, if you want to do that right, it's going to take many stages of readiness to be developed to be able to stand ready. So I just wanted to welcome you, you've certainly demonstrated to me that you've got the project clearly in mind and that Florida's going to be safer because of your appointment, and I certainly intend to support you any way you can.
Thank you.
We can.
Thank you, Senator Baxley. We don't really have a debate portion coming up, so I'm just going to take this moment to say I think how fortunate we all are here in Florida for the leadership of our governor, for choosing you to be in this position, for General Haas that takes care of us in the National Guard, our troopers, our law enforcement. I really think the state of Florida's got it going on when it comes to protecting their citizens and preparing for the future. As a senator from District 8, I have had the opportunity to go to some of our command centers that are ready to roll at the moment's notice, and you see the men and women that respond to that call. You see the equipment that we have. Florida's ready. We're ready. And with your help, we're even going to be more ready and be able to respond. So would you like to make any closing remarks, sir, before we go to vote?
No, sir. There's a quality to brevity, and I don't want to waste that chance here. Thank
Good
you,
job. That's going to help tremendously. So is there a motion from a senator to recommend confirmation? Senator Torres recommends that we vote yes on this case, so we're going to ask Lois to please call the roll.
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Collins?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo? Vice Chair Torres?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Yes, and by your vote, Mark A. Thieme is recommended favorably. Thank you, sir, for being here today. Appreciate you very much. Godspeed for what you're going to take on here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Any other business before the committee? It's going to be one of the shortest meetings we've ever had. And I moved it from 8:30, too, so, you know, just for you. Yes, if there's no objection, show the motion that Senator Collins has adjourned the meeting. Thank you.